When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
She is gone. It's a grand slam. Swung on, hit in the air to right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. His third home run of the game. A Judgian blast to right field.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome!
Casamigos' big shot of the night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And then tonight's a double shot. Gotta give one to Josh Hart, the other to Igor Shesterkin. You just heard the update. Josh Hart trying to catch Nikola Jokic with his third triple-double of the season. Your favorite Nick. He pops chains after hitting the game winner. Tonight, he was a plus 32, 20 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists. And I already told you before, Igor Shesterkin had 28 saves. Back-to-back shutouts. If the Rangers are going to make a run, much lies on the shoulders of Igor Shesterkin. My Casamigos, big shot of the night, a double shot for Josh Hart and Igor. All right, back to the phones we go, 877-337-6666. I was looking at available safeties. I did mention tonight that Jalen Mills signs with the Giants, but he's a corner. Jamal Adams is out there. Giants want to bring Jamal Adams back to the Meadowlands. Doubt it. Justin Simmons is still out there. Did Justin Simmons sign? SpotTrack might not be updated with it. I think I saw Justin Simmons potentially signing with somebody. Philadelphia Eagles are interested in signing Justin Simmons. Of course they are. I mean, they brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You guys remember C.J. Gardner-Johnson? I think he got his car stolen in Philly. Then he left, went to the Lions. He had beef with Deebo Samuel. He was waving bye to the Niners fans at halftime. Oh, nah. Had to get him up out of there. He goes back to Philly, and there's a gaming clip of him going viral where he talks about Philadelphia fans and how obnoxious and arrogant they are and how he hates the effers. That is his words. And now he's going back to Philly, and he's like, yeah, I'm going home. I'm flying back home. Okay. All right. So you guys will see him too. But, yeah, Justin Simmons is a guy to keep an eye out on. I don't know if the Giants will be able to afford him. Who else is out there? Eddie Jackson, Micah Hyde, Buda Baker. Did Buda Baker? I don't know. We don't have time. Let's get as many calls as we can get in the next 50 minutes before I'm done. John is in Port Jeff Station. What's up, John? You're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. Congratulations on the show. I try to call, you know, every night when I'm going into work, and you're one of the calmest voices on The Fan just to hear reason, so I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we got cut off last week. I try to rush to get into work because there's a dead spot every time I get in, so I got here, so that's good. Last week we were talking about Saquon Barkley. You know, he's not a franchise running back, and you know what, you see it, there's plenty out there that can get somebody in the second or third round, and you know, he's just not worth that money. Like you said, rebuilding, yeah. A lot of people are annoyed. I've been watching the Giants in 68 and 70s with Fran Tarkenton and all those quarterbacks and, you know, players since then. And I'll tell you, you can't spend that kind of money on a running back when you know you can get something that can fill in between now and the rebuild. You got to work on that offensive line. You have to look at it in a reality that the money, it's a business. He took the business. Everybody's yelling at him, oh, he's a traitor. That's, you know, it's a business. That's all it is, and no matter where the money is, everybody 99% of the time is going to that money.
There was only one place for him to get that much money. That's enough money to be a traitor. You'll turn your back on your brothers. You'll turn your back on your mama who drafted you and brought you into the league for that contract. It's okay.
It was just overwhelming. How could you not, you know, and you got to say, listen, you know, it's not good riddance. He did what he could for the Giants. You know,
none of us know what the future holds. A lot of us are projecting he'll never be able to come back. We don't know. If he goes down there and does nothing for the Eagles, if he goes down there and the Eagles are a bust, he has a big fumble in one of their biggest games, you might love him.
Yeah, exactly. There could be a big thing, but there's no reason to turn on him. Like you said, the money is what it is, and unfortunately, you know.
No, I get everybody turning on him, but it's just hard. There was no other alternative, John. He would be a fool if we learned that he came back to the Giants, or let's say he went to the Texans, and I think the word on the Texans were that they were going to offer him around $11 million, $12 million a year without all of the incentives, right? He got 37.5 or whatever, and supposedly with the incentives, it could be up to 46. Let's say he took less to go to Houston because he didn't want to upset the fans. People in the league, his representatives, his family would be like, are you stupid? Take the most money, and you don't have to go that far. You're going to go all the way to Texas to not upset a fan base? No, you can go right down the turnpike and make way more money to maximize the end of your career. He's 27. He'll be 30 in three seasons, and most likely with the amount of hits and the amount of mileage on him, he'll be cooked once he gets up there.
Yeah, and he's not that he's injury prone. I mean, he has some bad.
He's injury prone. You can say it. Every year he's got an ankle. Well, he had an ACL.
It's sad, but you know that unfortunately in 3 years he could be doing the same thing. So if he didn't get that much money and gets injured again, he's not making that money in 2 or 3 years after that anyway. You know that. Like you said, he's going to be at 30 years old on the down. That's why I just look who Dallas got rid of. You know, Zeke Elliott. They knew the right move to make, and the Giants did it right now. And they want to build for tomorrow, like you said, and that's what they're doing. So they need to solidify that offensive line. They got a great defense coming in now. Hopefully Thibodeau can live up to his calling. And, you know, that's what they need. But right now, that offense needs somebody to get in there. They probably, hopefully, will get some spark by getting a wide receiver or somebody. But as you see it, you know, it's the best deal for them, money-wise, and not only that, for player-wise. So they have to get the best player in the draft, and let's see what happens with that.
Thanks for the call, John. Spot on. And, I mean, you just made me think about the Dallas Cowboys and how dumb they are and how pissed off I was watching them now 2 days in a row not go get anybody. And you have obvious needs. Jerry Jones, you're a clown, bro. You're a whole clown. Dallas Cowboys math is, oh, yeah, we'll use a number 4 overall pick on a running back. And then before that running back's rookie deal is up, we'll pay that running back $90 million. $15 million a year for 6 years. Oh, he won't see the end of that contract. We'll have to cut him because it'll make no sense to have $16 million going to Ezekiel Elliott, who's cooked, and $10.1 million going to Tony Pollard, who became the better back, and we have to franchise tag him. Oh, wait, we're going to let Tony Pollard go next year. And in the year before we let Tony Pollard go, we're going to draft a little peewee running back because his dad works for the team. A little, not even muscle hamster, not a Darren Sproles, Deuce Vaughn, who is just like the smallest running back you will ever see. They draft that kid. He was inactive most of the season. And now he's the only active running back on the roster. Jerry Jones can't afford to pay Zach Moss $4.25 million a year. And now they're sitting there with Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn, cooked. So, yeah, they're going to draft running back. You'll have a rookie running back with Dak Prescott. What did I say, yo? When they said they're all in, Jerry Jones, in his moment of frustration after being bounced in the first round by the youngest team in the playoffs, a quarterback that had never played in the playoffs, he said, yeah, we'll be all in, and you'll see that we won't build for the future. We'll be all in. We'll be all in denial. Big denial. Big disappointment. Big disaster. Big Dak payday coming, and you're stuck with him because you don't know how to do the things that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are doing, right? And I keep pairing this up, the Giants and Cowboys. Drink my Cowboys tears, come through. I literally watched that video at the end of the season, at the end of the Gettleman era. Shout out to that guy, whoever he was, the Giants fan that said, we need football people, not family. I hope that the Cowboys fans take that moniker on and yell that to Jerry Jones because the Maras heard you and they said, we're going to go out and get a good GM and the coach of his choosing, pair them together, and we'll hand over the franchise to them and they'll take us where we got to go. And where you got to go is not paying Saquon Barkley. But meanwhile, here you have the Dallas Cowboys who didn't ever believe in Dak Prescott. They drafted him in the 4th round. Steal. They could have locked him up for nothing. Didn't pick up his rookie option. He came and proved it again. They tried to franchise tag him. They did. Tried to franchise tag him again. This guy ends up having all the leverage. He gets a little short-term deal, four-year deal. He's in the last year of that deal. And now they're saying that Dak, he don't even want to be there. Dak is saying, let's see how this year plays out. Dak has all the leverage. He doesn't have to sign an extension because he's made a ton of money off you. He's making $50 million, $40 million. He doesn't even have to come back next year. He can say, you know what? It's toxic over here. Jerry's not doing the right things. The fans all hate me. Maybe I can't win here in Dallas. Maybe I need to be the next Kirk Cousins, which he already is. Kirk Cousins making $400 million in the NFL. He's got a 1-3 playoff record. Dak Prescott's not far behind him with a 2-5 record. Dak Prescott leaves. You're going to fire Mike McCarthy. Then where will you be at next season? 877, you know the number to dial. Let's go to Stan in Westport, Connecticut.
Hey, well, you engendered some new thoughts, and it's been a bit, but you said don't be a stranger, so here I am. And I got one shout-out at the end. Don't let me forget. Okay. First off, I am not in your camp on the Barkley thing, and I'll tell you why. First of all, he got a raw deal with the Giants. He really did. For being a guy that was very dedicated, and I think he would have stayed easily, the problem is they gave him the rookie. They took the rookie option out. You know, he got the minimum from them that they could have gotten to him. And that, to me, is he's a unique talent in this league. He's a different player than most running backs. And I think he took the right deal in Philly. He's going to thrive there, I believe. And, look, we got Singletary from the Texans. He's a decent player, but he's no Barkley. The same thing. Look,
yeah, but Barkley didn't win a damn thing. All the highlights, all the jukes, all the spin moves, all the bursts of speed. What did it turn into for you?
Listen, you know, you say it yourself. If the running backs devalued as they seem to be, no running back is going to carry a team to the Super Bowl. It's a quarterback.
That's why they just added him as the cherry on top to a team that already went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, but with their receiver dearth of talent there, plus Daniel Jones at best mediocre, they need a Barkley. But you know what?
No.
We'll find out. My over-under for their win total is maybe 6.5, 7 games.
They'll take
and
7
I'm
wins.
And I'm not in your camp. Yeah, I'm not in your camp with Dable at all. If you look at last year, he had some of the worst performances ever in the history of the NFL. Remember the 40-0 game in the rain?
I was there.
The Cowboys?
Yeah.
How was that?
I had great seats.
How was that?
Fantastic.
He was clueless.
One of the best games I ever saw alive.
Let me say one quick thing about Jerry Jones. I agree he's a buffoon in the personnel department, but I'll tell you where he's a genius. And if you diss him too much, he's not going to invite you on that 425-foot yacht he's got.
I'm never going there again. I haven't been to Dallas since 2014. I don't plan on going. I'm not giving him any money. I don't buy any gear. I might donate all my Dallas Cowboys gear. That's where I'm at with the franchise.
I hear you. But you know one thing he is a genius at? Profitability and getting the taxpayers to pay for all those magnificent facilities.
Embarrassing himself.
Really
being one and done, getting bounced out of the playoffs, having 12-5 teams that can't get out of the wild card round, divisional round. Who are you going to shout out, Stan?
Okay, my shout-out is to the Wagner College Seahawks. We won the neck tonight. You got to get Donald Copeland on. He's a Jersey City guy. He's a St. Anthony's product. You know, he did a magnificent job. You know, they only dressed 7 players like the last 10 or 12 games. They had so many guys hurt.
That's all they needed,
what
huh? That's great.
What they did, they came from the 6th seed. They beat the 3, the 1, and the 2 to win it, and now they're in the tournament. So it's like a shout-out to Donald Copeland and the Wagner Seahawks, man. It was amazing. I drove driving back. It was fantastic. So get him on. He's a great, great guy to have on. I'll tell you another thing. He played for like 16 or 18 teams after Seton Hall, all over the world, Philippines, like crazy. Like
and he's
career.
Brought that experience into coaching. Great. Thanks for the call, Stan, and congrats. To Wagner, let's keep it moving on the fan and talk to Tom in Brick, New Jersey.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
Good. So I got, first of all, Heath, I'm just saying, I listen to you guys all the time. You guys are amazing. But I got two questions for you. First is, being a New York Jets fan, I just do not know what JD is, what Joe Douglas is doing. He's legit doing, like, what is he doing in this free agency? He's just not picking up what we need.
He made some moves last night. He did some. You got to give him credit for doing something last night. Not tonight. I thought he was going to have some other moves. Maybe when C-Mac gets on, he'll make some late-night moves. But he added an offensive lineman. He added an interior defensive lineman. He added Tyrod Taylor. They did bring back Greg Zuerlein and Thomas Morstead. Those are two of the best guys on the team.
But we need O-line. We need O-line.
So now you have John Simpson, who just played with the Ravens, went all the way to the AFC Championship. They bring him over. I think they paid a lot for him. And they need to add another guy. But Javon Kinlaw, when he was coming out of the draft, he was highly touted. It didn't work out with the 49ers, but now he's reunited with Rob Saleh. Same thing with slot corner Isaiah Oliver and Chuck Clark. So they have some moves. They have added some guys. It might not be sexy. And they also added Cardinals defensive tackle Leki Fotu, a one-year deal. They have made some moves. Evan was literally calling him Sleepy Joe Douglas in the afternoon yesterday. And then while I'm on last night, they started making moves. So it counts. It might not be what you're looking for, which is you need another weapon at receiver and you need more offensive linemen. But this is the draft if you're looking for tackles, offensive linemen, receivers.
Yeah, but we are so behind in offensive line. We need depth. We need
Tyron Smith has been rumored. I know he was also rumored with the Commanders, but he hasn't signed yet. So maybe they go get him. And you know it's a foregone conclusion that David Bakhtiari will sign with the Jets. So consider him a Jet.
That is true. But let's just, you know, the past 2-3 years, these guys have been injury prone. Like we can't afford that. We cannot afford these old. I'm saying, listen, they're great. They're great. But when they play. You know, we just can't afford that. We cannot afford just,
NFL.
Up.
These guys get hurt, and you take a chance, just like you took a chance on Dwayne Brown. He was hurt the whole time he was here. Let's see what happens with Tyron Smith. As a Dallas Cowboys fan, I would tell you he ain't worth signing. Not for this short run that you have with Aaron Rodgers. You need some young, hungry dogs. But I see a lot of Jets fans that are like, no, go get Tyron Smith. I'm like, all right, buyer beware.
If they're giving him up, the Cowboys are giving him up after, what was it, like 13 seasons?
Over a decade. He came in young. They took him out of USC, and he was like 20 years old.
He was a stud for the last 10 years, you know?
But he's slower now. Trust me, I've watched him. These edge rushers, they're able to get by him, and he is a walking injury. He's hurt every year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what Joe Douglas is waiting for. We had the opportunity. We have the money. I mean, somewhat. We can't sign them for like a 5-year big, you know, give them like a big like 50 or not $100 million contract. But we have the money for a couple of 2-year deals for pick up some nice depth at O-line, and he just blew it. I think
Bakhtiari, they're counting on probably after Aaron Rodgers and him had their public Twitter back and forth. And they're going to draft. They might not want to go take a chance on a Tyron Smith. And I know we've seen a bunch of linemen get claimed up here, but I don't want to say he hasn't done anything. I'm waiting on them to make a move for a NFL caliber wide receiver that is a name that we know to go along with Garrett Wilson, because you can't bank on Alan Lazard. And you made the mistake bringing him and Mecole Hardman in last year. You need another, like, NFL solidified receiver, and then you draft guys, and you can't sell me on Xavier Gibson and Jason Brownlee either.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But I did also have, like, I was pondering over this thought, and I was just thinking, like, you know, I know most Jets fans would probably kill me for saying this, but, like, you know, in a year or two or not from now, the Jets are going in a full rebuild mode because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is done. You know, all these signings are going to be 1 or 2 years, and everyone's out.
Yeah, would it be, you know that's coming.
Would it be so crazy as to trade up and get a like, you know, like Drake May or someone like that in the draft?
Yeah, that would be crazy. There's no way they do that. Like, there's just no way with Aaron Rodgers being assistant GM, there's just no way they take a quarterback high. Thanks for the call, Tom. They are going into this year with Aaron Rodgers as QB1, Tyrod Taylor as QB2. I have no idea who's going to be QB3. Can't call it. Maybe they draft a kid late. They actually have Mr. Irrelevant this year. They have the last pick in the draft that came from the compensatory picks. Maybe they use that last pick of the draft and try and find a Brock Purdy type to be their third string quarterback. But you don't want to be worried about that. It is Aaron Rodgers' team. It is Aaron Rodgers' show. And what they did in Green Bay was always draft defensive players. And then the last straw was, you know, moving up to draft Jordan Love. The Jets aren't going to do that. They're only going to get wide receivers, offensive linemen to help Aaron Rodgers.
Here's my question. When Aaron Rodgers decides to run with RFK Jr. for VP, I don't think the Jets can have Tyrod as their starter. So who are the Jets going to get as their starter? That's what I want to know.
Who are they trading in the event that Aaron Rodgers' 40-year-old body breaks down on him and Tyrod Taylor, who's been hurt every year, also breaks down on him, who is their third-string quarterback? It's important. I don't know. Thought experiment. I don't know. I just know that the Jet fan has to sleep pretty good at night knowing that there's no chance that it's Zach Wilson. You'll never see him take another snap. That's a win. You never have to go through that again. Whoever you get in here, I don't know who it'll be. Can't call it. But you got a QB1 and QB2 that combined, they have hundreds of starts. Keith McPherson on the Fan. This is my last 30 minutes, so let's play some other sounds, go to break, and then we'll come right back.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Although things are going to change next year, we're going to move across the street. There are a few things with the New York Yankees that never change. That's pride, it's tradition, and most of all, we have the greatest fans in the world.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Don't try and act like you don't know where we be at neither. We're in the club all the time. Problem pop off. Paulie was laughing just now as Derek Jeter gave his speech going from the old stadium to the new stadium. Things did change, Jeets. Things certainly changed. Back then, I was confident, too. I was a younger man, a more naive young man. I was in college back then thinking, man, one day I'm going to grow up. I'm going to work in the city. I'm going to go see the Yankee parades all the time, at least every 3-4 years. Yeah, and then reality hit that, like, we're in a dark age. We are 3 more seasons away from this being the longest stretch in Yankee history without a World Series appearance. I mean, they got to figure it out. They got to do something. Somebody do something. Josh and Passaic on the Fan. What's up, Josh?
Good, Keith. You know, just waited, you know, a long time, but good to see you. How you doing?
Yeah, you're on, bro. Go for it.
So first, you know, with the Shesterkin, you know, back-to-back shutouts, just funny because we haven't had any shutouts the entire year with, like, 5 goalies.
It's I was about to say, not one of them could figure that out.
We're pretty much 5 goalies, right? So much like the Giants, right? And as you say, don't have, you know, if you don't have one, you don't have any, right? All these guys rotating. It's funny, I mean, there might be, the goalie they had versus the Rangers might be above, like, 900% save, but the Devil, before that, Devils have no goalies that are over that. Just been one disaster. That's not what I mostly want to get to. First off, I have just a few NFL questions. Where do you think Aaron Jones is going to go if the Cowboys aren't going after him?
Aaron Jones signed today with the Vikings.
Oh, then I missed that. Never mind. But so here's what I want to get to mostly. So if the Steelers just signed Russell Wilson, why are they trading Deontay Johnson, right? The number one receiver on the team. You need to give him as much help as possible. Right? I mean,
George Pickens is the number one receiver on that team.
Yeah, but who else do they have? Come on, Austin, Freiermuth? Why are you trading away receivers?
Allen Robinson? I'm just joking. He's nothing. They'll draft and they'll find guys and they'll plug guys in. I think there was beef between Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. One of them had to go, and I think it made more sense contract-wise, especially with George Pickens only being in his second year and his talent. And the fact that he went to UGA and Tomlin's daughter goes, I think, still to UGA. And, like, Pickens is Pickens is a guy they're going to see it all the way through with. They moved on from Deontay Johnson. They'll draft another receiver again because this is a wide receiver deep draft. Russell Wilson, we'll see what he does. He's going to help those young receivers as well.
And then before I get to the Mets, so I just wanted to say what I thought the move with Burns is, right? Because the whole thing is the rebuild, right? You'll have a few short contracts. The reason you sign for 5 years is you try to hope the rebuild takes 2 years, and then on year three is when you hope to take the next step up, right? So hopefully, so they're saying then we'll still have another 3 years, and then we'll be 28 then. Hopefully by then, that's why they're signing him to a longer contract.
Yeah, I mean, you can hope, but the thing about a rebuild is, like, you're rebuilding. And especially here with the Giants, they were ahead of schedule. It was fool's gold. They took two steps back. They're hoping to take a step forward this year, but it might be rough. Nobody knows how a rebuild is going to go or how long it's actually going to take. You hope it's fast. You hope it's 2-3 years, but you can't be certain. When you talk about the contracts, though, and I was talking before about Brian Burns, I'm like, they expect to be good by the end of that contract. They don't expect it to take 5 years, and he's 26. So by the time he's 29, 30, I think the Giants are expecting to be able to compete.
And then with the New York Mets, I felt very confident after seeing Diaz come back for an inning, strike out the side, and just to see him, you know, get back there and not, you know, get roughed off in like a spring training game. And listen, I'll make like a ball prediction now. I think his ERA is going to be under 2 again, and I don't even know if that's still balled anymore. If we could just get him regular, right? He was insane last time. He was there, stupid, worthless baseball class, I guess I would call it. But then I have a question for you, and I'll hang up and listen. Who do you think is coming back first, Kodai Senga or Garrett Cole? And thank you for taking my call. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, good to see Edwin Diaz. He's filthy. He's one of the best in the game. If he's what he was 2 years ago or even close to that, you have a legit closer. I don't know if the Yankees have a legit closer. That's what I'm saying. If you get leads and your bullpen doesn't blow it like they did last year, Mets fans, you're going to be able to steal some games. You're going to be able to steal some 3-2 games. You're going to be able to steal some 4-2 games, knowing that the back of your bullpen, you have Shintaro Fujinami and Edwin Diaz. And I just hate that everything has to be Yankees, Mets. And Kodai Senga goes down. So all day I've heard, who's going to be like, started with BT and Sal. They did the, Bald Lie or Bald, I forget what the segment is called. Or talking about who's going to be out longer. I don't care, bro. Everything doesn't have to be Mets and Yankees. It has nothing to do with the other. Garrett Cole's timeline has nothing to do with Kodai Senga's timeline. Kodai Senga got hurt the first day of pitchers and catchers that he started throwing. Cole pitched in a couple games, and then he got hurt. We don't know. That's another thing, too. We have no idea what's up with Cole. We just are assuming the worst because we are jaded Yankee fans. We have trust issues with our organization. They are outside the circle of trust. They have betrayed us, betrayed our trust. They have played with us time and time again. So what else would you do besides think the worst? And that's why folks are messaging me on Twitter, Keith, it's Tommy John. Cole's out this year and next year. No, he's not. Until they say that, he's not. So I don't have an answer for who comes back, whether it's Kodai Senga or Garrett Cole. I would assume it's Kodai Senga because they diagnosed his issue. He's been getting PRP shots. He's set to throw the week of opening day. Right now, they're saying opening day is not on the table for Garrett Cole. They're saying most likely Garrett Cole is not pitching opening day. So if I had to pick one for the sake of WFAN Sports Talk Radio and Mets fans and Yankee fans listening, I would go ahead and say Kodai Senga will be on the mound before Garrett Cole. But I don't know that. I'm going to go to sleep tonight, wear my pajamas inside out, say my prayers, and pray that the Yankees ace is not lost for the season. If he is, the season's lost. Nate is in Philadelphia. Are you about to talk about Saquon or the Sixers or what?
More the Knicks, to be honest with you, man.
Okay, good.
It was a masterful performance. I left the game tonight, and it was exactly what I anticipated it to be, where the Villanova guys took what they've learned over the last decade and the kind of guys and the kind of way they put it together and absolutely whipped the butts for 48 minutes. What an embarrassing performance. And I'm a positive guy, so I'm not going to call them out necessarily by name, but zero effort, zero cohesiveness, zero communication. The Knicks are, Thibodeau, you should have seen how engaged he had them all the way till the end. And what these guys, the way they talk about their defensive matchups, it was incredible. It was an absolute clinic, and it made it very hard for me to be a Sixers fan tonight, to be honest with you. I think I'm ready to turn it in for the rest of the season. and straight up root for the Knicks. I'm like, unabashed. I mean, it was honestly amazing. And they're without some of their, you know, both teams without a couple of their big pieces, of course. But Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo, winners. Winners. Ballers. Bringing that, the way they hit the glass, the way they get back on D. The other team could not be bothered. Could not be bothered from the jump.
Great call. So Nate is a Sixers fan. I guess you drove up here to watch the game at the Garden tonight, and with Kelly Oubre talking what he was talking, and with the last game with the Sixers being able to beat the Knicks and the back and forth that we saw, I think the Sixers got a little bit confident having Maxey back, and the Knicks tightened up, as we've seen them do plenty. They also get OG Anunoby back. Not for nothing. You know, Brunson is flashy and can run it up, but they're a defensive team. They're a scrappy, gritty team, and they have a coach that doesn't make any excuses for them, and they're not making any excuses for themselves. So you saw it firsthand how they plan on winning games this year.
That's how you win, with defense and rebounding and effort and communication and playing together. And when you have open, look at all the open shots they create on pick and rolls, on backdoor cuts. They're wide open threes. Simple basketball. They did nothing. They did nothing exotic tonight. There was nothing exotic tonight.
I mean, I'll throw the numbers out there. I looked at it before, but we didn't really have as many Knicks calls as I liked. I mean, field goal percentage, the Knicks shot a little bit over 50%. They held the Sixers to 37%. You talk about crashing the glass and the boards. They out-rebounded them by 20, 50.
The game was over at halftime. Here's the thing. If you're a Sixers fan, you should be embarrassed. I'm 41 years old. They won a title when I was 1 year old. Look at all the homegrown talent under their noses that they missed. You got three guys on the Knicks. Good for them to whip their butt. I was almost happy to see it. It was like affirming, and it was like oddly satisfying to watch that masterclass tonight. Honestly, that game was over in the end of the second quarter.
Yeah.
The other team could not have been bothered to even be there, but good for Brunson. I mean, here's the thing. People around me, they're like, Thibodeau, everybody in a row. You know, like I was in Nova Gear, like I'm, and, you know, everyone in the row. Hey, everyone wants you to bench Brunson, right? Of course. It's amazing to see this guy's now a cornerstone. He's a culture changer. His attitude has changed the culture of this franchise, as has Harden DiVincenzo's. They've rearranged the entire franchise and everything there, regardless of all the tourism and ridiculous scene and quietness of a Knicks game at the Garden, which should not be that. It should not be what I
said. It'll always be that. They're in the middle of Manhattan. They've been doing that for years.
Sure, but there's real Knicks fans, too. And, like, there's one team tonight that was ready for the playoffs. And one team that could not have cared, which is fine. The Knicks are getting better. With
Tobias Harris had 2 points. Mo Bamba had 5. Kyle Lowry had 2 points.
Hey, don't guard him. Don't guard him at the three line. Sag back into the paint when you're in man coverage and you're down 15. Could not have cared less. Okay, but the Knicks. But I'm telling you, here's the thing. They earned their minutes. Josh Hart, like, I'm telling him, go for a quadruple double. You got 9 more assists to get a quadruple double. And he could have gotten 20 rebounds. So he gets right into Thibodeau at the end. He's like blasting it up at the end, sort of nicely, like, hey, I could have gotten 20 boards. But the thing is, his motor, he's going after boards when they're up 30. He's going after boards.
He's out hustling you. They want it more than you. It means more to them than you. Great call, Nate. Philadelphia, right? They're not celebrating Saquon that much. They're looking at their Philadelphia boys that played in Villanova. Now the Villanova Knicks. And when you look at that box score, it's ugly for the Sixers. They need Embiid back ASAP. Trust the process, forever process. And Keith McPherson on the Fan, this is my last break. Call up if you want to get one of the last words in. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Full windup by Simmons. And a swing on hit high in the air, deep to center field, way back. It may go. Gone! A grand slam! A grand slam, Mike Piazza.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I think I said this on The Fan before, but back in my days on the ones and twos, I used to play this as like the last song or second to last song of the night. If you don't know, now you know. It was all a dream. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Thanks for holding. If you're on hold, I'll get to you right now. Keith McPherson on the Fan. These are the last three calls. Mark all the way out. Going back to Cali. Cali.
Saquon's going to the Philadelphia
Eagles. Yeah, we're over it, bro. It's about to be Wednesday.
It's crazy, bro. So I told you 4 days ago it's going to happen.
Yeah, you were right. You were right. I didn't think he was like that. I didn't think he had it in him.
You know what? I knew about it. Like, my buddy told me. He's the director of personnel for the Eagles. He told me a week before. He's like, we're signing Saquon. I said, no way. There's no way. He said, just watch. I said, what? But he's trying to say. But listen, a lot of Giants, I want to talk to him for about 2 minutes. A lot of Giants fans are mad at him. New York Giants did him dirtier than Dave Gettleman telling Odell Beckham he's not going to get traded and then trade him. You can't be mad at the dude. You'd rather pay a quarterback who is trash $40 million because he had one good season and not pay your running back. I understand all the mileage, but listen. The Eagles don't care. They have the best offensive line in football, even without Kelsey.
It's a quarterback-driven league. They defaulted into that Daniel Jones contract.
What's crazy about it is when you look at Saquon on the Giants, he was their best player. The reason why they went to the playoffs wasn't because of Daniel Jones. It's because of Saquon. He carried that team dimensionally. And,
I know we all know. Everybody watched the Giants.
So listen. So what Shane is doing is he's valuing positions, which is fantastic because you take a look at all the guys that he's kind of signed in this free agency. Let's go with Brian Burns. He's played 14-plus games the last 4 years. Joe Runyon, 16 games in four straight years. Jermaine Elam, whatever his name is, 17 games the last 2 years. Devin Singletary is not injury prone. Even Drew Locke has minimal injury history. So he's valuing the position. And you take a look at Singletary, the dude's had 900 yards four straight years. And he's just that Swiss Army knife back. Now remember, Keith, me and you remember this, Derek Ward, Ahmad Bradshaw, seventh round pick, the OG Derek Henry that no one remembers, Brandon Jacobs, right?
Yeah.
So listen, when they won their Super Bowl, they didn't rely on one running back to get it done, right? So if you can add another piece, I really wanted Zach Moss. I wanted Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, that 1-2 punch, but it didn't get done. But they can still go out there and get some more moves. But I'm loving the moves, man. I mean, I'm thinking the Giants are really good. If they can get Malik Nabbers, it's over.
Malik
if you can
Nabbers,
get him.
Thanks for the call. Malik Nabbers. Malik Nabbers. Let's go to Jim and Wontog. Before we go to Jim, yo, BT had me cracking up today because people kept saying Shaquan, Saquon. He's like, it's Saquon. You guys keep butchering his name. Like BT and Sal, the first show I hear in the morning is BT and Sal, and they come in here hot. All right, let's go to Jim. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. Wasn't he a gift from God? Right? Wasn't that the statement that was made when he was drafted?
He was touched by the hand of God, Dave Gettleman
touched
said.
Touched by the hand of God.
Same guy that was in full bloom love with Daniel Jones.
I know. And you know what? Look, I'm not hating on Saquon. I actually appreciate the work he did. But he had no support. He really didn't. And I can't fault him. And I really don't like Tiki dissing him like he did today. You know, the other day. Because Tiki, if he would have played another 2 years, he would have had a Super Bowl.
We know it.
Definitely
Tiki, I have heard every single thing about Tiki Barber. But what we know is this. Tiki Barber was a much better player and Giant than
him.
Absolutely. Tiki was not being malicious. Tiki was just campaigning for the guy to win Walter Payton Man of the Year. Tiki was just...
No, I get it.
Tiki was literally leaning into the conversation we were having last Thursday. I said it. I didn't think he was actually going to do it. I'm like, if you go to Philly, it's over for you here.
Yeah, it is. It is. But let me...
In other words, you're dead to everyone in New York. We don't care about you. We can't root for you. We don't want you to have any success. What you just did the last 6 years, erased.
Yep. No, I agree, and I don't want him to get hurt. But let me just bring you back to a comment you made earlier in your show about it's a business. All right? If the player can get the most money for his family, because every time you walk on that field, it could be a career engine injury.
Don't I know it?
So, and that's serious business. And meanwhile, the NFL is like this multi-billion-dollar company.
Yep.
And they're afraid of spending $36 million on a running back.
It's their prerogative.
If Juan can get his money, let him get it.
And he did.
Like I said, I'm not going to root for him. I'm a Giants fan. I'm not going to root for him. But I just don't want him to get hurt. But I definitely will not root for him at all.
Good, Jim. And like I don't know, C-Mac, bro, come in here and do this for the next 5 hours. I don't know how many times we can slice it and dice it, flip it and twist it, say it again. We know. We get it. Nobody else was giving Saquon Barkley that much money. He took the money and he ran. He did not care if it was the Eagles. That was the only team. He looked it dead in the face and said, you know what? I know what this is going to do to my legacy, but I want to be the richest NFL player I can possibly be. Congrats to him. Let's see how he wears that ugly green jersey and being the villain now. Speaking of ugly green jerseys, let's talk Jets with Rob and Kate May. I'm just kidding, Rob. I shouldn't have taken the shot at the Jets. I'm just sorry.
That's okay. I'm kind of used to them being on the low end of the totem pole. In your opinion, I heard the Bengals were looking for a 2 or a 3rd round pick for T. Higgins. Would you look into that if you're the Jets?
Yeah, I would. T. Higgins is a dog, and that's a move that you make that can outlive Aaron Rodgers. And if you have a tandem of T. Higgins and Garrett Wilson, they are different kinds of receivers. That would be super tough. I would look into it. Yes.
Yeah, he's only 25 years old. He could be great for years. Also on the Yankees, do you think that they should look for a little more bullpen help, or do you think they're set there? Obviously, if Cole is in any worse shape, they would need a starter, but just in general, would you boost the bullpen?
Cole affects the bullpen. I had a rant earlier where I'm like, Cole is your only starter that you can expect to even touch the 7th inning, 8th inning, throw a complete game. And without him, your bullpen gets taxed. This bullpen, there's about 3 or 4 guys in this bullpen that I'm not really sure about. So, I'm trying to keep adding. I'm trying to make moves. I'm leaving no stone unturned. Pencils down July 30th? Nah, I can't be pencils down July 30th. I'm filling out the whole test by March 30th and opening day March 28th, and then I'm checking it over every month, May, June, July, like, come on, Cash. But see, that's the thing. When you're a GM that's not actually on the hot seat, you're chilling right now. Like, yeah, whatever, let's see what the MRI says. Maybe Cole's out, maybe he's not. We got enough. And we got Juan Soto. What are you guys talking about? You guys didn't see the press? We got Juan Soto. He's wonderful. He's the Juan. All in. Like Jerry Jones is all in. All in denial. All right, I'm out of here, yo. I'll be back tomorrow after the Nets play. 5 hour KM to AM after that. C-Mac's coming in to rock next. I'm out.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN New York.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.